Hello. Thank you, Lynn and everyone. Thank you, Lori. It's good to see you all. We're here tonight for the 7 steps to awakening. We'll be beginning at quote 639. But before we do that, I like to have a bit of just sitting and being quiet. And what I do now when we're being quiet is I actually play a song, because I saw that when I was just being quiet, people would come in, is there sound? Is there sound? And so at least if we play a song while we're being quiet and people enter the room during the quietness, they know there's sound. So the song that I've picked for this evening is by Karen Drucker, and it's called Thank You for This Day.
Say thank you, thank you, thank you, 'cause I'm so grateful, so grateful, oh, grateful, I'm so grateful. So I wanna say thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day, thank you for
Wonderful. That reminds me of a scripture. I think it's from Psalms 118, but I could have the chapter wrong. But it's something like, today is the day that the Lord has given us, and we shall rejoice in it. And one thing I love about that scripture is that's like no matter what. You know, it's not we shall rejoice in it because something that we define as good has happened. No matter what, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. So we're here now for the seven steps to awakening, and we're going to begin with quote number 639. And in fact, I have several journal entries to 639, so it's possible that we'll be on 639 all night. We'll see what happens. Let me give you the link. There you go. There's the link to 639A. The quote is coming from the Supreme Yoga, and it's a fairly long quote, so I'll read it a couple of times. So it's really like a paragraph. Here we go. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. So there's an awful lot in this particular quote, which I'm sure is why I have so many journal entries. So let me just read the quote one more time, and then we'll begin looking at the journal entries. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. And Texas Forever, I see that you're asking when you can talk, but actually this room is a sanctuary, and we have scheduled speakers every hour. It's not a chat room like some of the other chat rooms in Pal Talk, so we won't be turning the mic over at all. So if you want to go chat, you might want to go find another room, but if you want to stay and listen, you're welcome to stay here in the Awakening Together sanctuary. All right, so I'm going to look at 639A. This is very, very short. It says, be devoted to truth and let all else go. And when I read that, it makes my heart sing. So it's obviously a teaching of the heart. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. I'm fortunate in that I'm connected to the heart enough that when the heart sings, there is no mental resistance to that. But I know that some people experience mental resistance to ideas such as this one. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. And the mind will start looking at whatever it is that you value. And the mind will say, in whatever way it says this, but if I let everything else go, if I let these things that I value go, I cannot be happy. And this is where the mental resistance comes from. So sometimes we just have to make a decision. I don't know how to make it any simpler. We have to make a decision about what we're going to trust, the mind or the heart. Now the heart is singing when it hears this. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. And the interesting thing about the mind, the heart's singing, is that there's no story with it. It's just that feeling of singing. It's just that feeling of joy. It's just that feeling of devotion, whatever word you want to put on it. It's just that heart happiness. Maybe we could call it recognition of the path home. But there's no story. And if you experience mental resistance, and you look at a sentence like, be devoted to truth and let all else go, the mental resistance has a lot of stories. And so what happens for some people is they hear these stories in the mind about all of the sacrifices, everything I'm being forced to give up in order to have truth, and thinking that those thoughts are my thoughts, thinking that I'm the one who feels that way, they believe the resistance. They choose to trust the resistance. It's funny because if you ask the heart, if you just ask the heart, you know, should I trust you? You know, you might get that same singing feeling, but you still don't get a story. If you ask the mind, should I trust you? Well, the experience I have when I ask that question immediately is actually silence. When I address the mind directly with inquiry, the mind hurries up and hushes up. That's my experience. It's like turning on a light and the roaches run away. If you ask it a question directly, it hurries up and hushes up. But given a bit of time, it will come back. And it will come back with the chatter and it will answer the question. And the mind will say, yes, you should trust me. But it's not singing. It's again, it's chatter. It's the story. It's like warnings of all the ways you're going to suffer, everything that's going to go wrong if you don't listen to it. And if you watch the mind long enough, you'll even start noticing that the mind is not consistent in its story. The mind changes sides. You know, one moment it'll take the side of, oh, but you got to have chocolate. You know, chocolate, you can't give up chocolate. You got to have chocolate. Chocolate is so important. And then the next minute, you got to give up that chocolate because you're fat and you can't be happy while you're fat. And, you know, so the mind is chattering away. It has all of these things that you value and they conflict. And if you pay any attention to the mind, you'll notice that the mind is nothing but noise. And then if you look back at the heart after you notice that the mind is nothing but noise, and you just look at that quiet singing, well, you might recognize which one is the, I'll call it the doorway to heaven. And so you might choose to trust the heart, even though the heart doesn't have a story. The heart's not making you any promises in story form about how you're going to be happy if you focus only on truth and let all else go. It's not giving you any stories about how you're going to be happy, but just kind of an examination, a looking at the heart and a looking at the mind. Eventually you can feel the heavy busyness of the mind and you feel the open singing of the heart. And you know which way to go. So again, this journal entry 639A says very simply.
Gina, the mic dropped.
Oops, the mic dropped. All right, can you hear me now? Yes. When I first came in the room tonight, I was listening to Laurie and there was a little bit of in and out happening, so some of it might be the in and out. So I would say if the voice goes away for about 5 seconds, you know, that might just be the in and out. But if the voice goes away for a long time, let me know. From my perspective, the mic was always there. But, you know, we have these problems sometimes in Pal Talk. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So, 639A says, again, be devoted to truth and let all else go. And like I said, the mind, if you're experiencing mental resistance, will tell you all the reasons, have lots of stories about why, you know, you'll suffer if you follow this. But the heart just quietly sings. The heart's very, very happy to hear something like this. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. So I'm going to scroll down underneath the comment and the reply and click on 639B. Now, we are still contemplating quote 639, and let me just re-quote 639 for you again. This is from the Supreme Yoga, Yoga Vasistha. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. By the way, notice no story. Supreme peace is equal to no story, right? When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. And we just talked about that, how if you watch the mind, you'll notice how it contradicts itself. It's getting you all worried or feeling like you're sacrificing or whatever it's doing in the moment. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. All right, so moving on to commentary 639B from my journal. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. So it starts the same way. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. What is not truth? What should be let go and not occupy my mental attention? So these are inquiries that I asked myself as I contemplated this quote. And here's some answers that were written down that morning. Stories of who thinks what about me. Ideas of how this body will continue to survive. Thoughts about what is in the best interests of others. Judgments and grievances. Desires and fears. What I will say or do. What I like or approve of, or don't like, don't approve of, etc. Actually, just in this short list, quite a bit of mental chatter is captured. These are the types of stories that the mind is always telling. I noticed Dove is writing it in the room. That's wonderful. If you look at this list, you might notice that you're not really much different from me, in that when you get sucked in the mind, you're probably listening to one of these bullet points most of the time. You know, so you're listening to maybe a story of who thinks what about you. Or you're listening to ideas about how this body's going to continue to survive, how you're going to have enough money. The first one maybe is like reputation. The second one, money. The third one, thoughts about what is in the best interest of others. This could be in the best interest of your children, of your parents. You know, maybe you know Lynn Johnson's story really well, and you think you know what's in the best interest of Lynn Johnson. Judgments and grievances, oh my goodness. There can be so many judgments in a day. You know, every time we wish something wasn't present that is present, or every time we wish something hadn't happened that did happen, you know, this is a judgment. Desires and fears. Gosh, I wonder how many thoughts in a day are desiring something, maybe wanting something to be a special way, wanting to have someone act a certain way, wanting to have some object or experience that I don't think I have. And that's just the desire side of the coin. What about the fear side of the coin? How much time is spent thinking about things that we fear, things that we want to avoid, things that we don't want to happen? What I will say or do. How many of y'all have had these imaginary conversations in your head? You know, like maybe you're going to call Dove up on the phone and talk to Dove about how you want to change your teaching time, or you don't want to teach anymore. You know, back when we used to call Dove for that, now we call Lynn. But, but you know, maybe, you know, you have this conversation in your mind with Dove, and you imagine Dove judging you for wanting to make the change, and you defend yourself, and this whole imaginary conversation goes off in your mind long before the phone call ever happens. How many of us have done that? What I like or approve of, or don't like, don't approve of. You know, that's an easy trap to fall into. You know, maybe somebody's drinking, smoking marijuana, swearing, chopping off people's heads. Just that was the last thing I saw before I came into Pal Talk tonight, was ISIS chopping off people's heads again. You know, it's very easy to find things that we don't approve of, and it's just as easy to find things that we do approve of. I mean, we approve of not chopping off heads, right? You know, if you look at this list, a lot of our thinking falls under one of these categories. And, you know, the very first line, 639A, and the very first line of 639B is, be devoted to truth and let all else go. Gosh, the mind may come right at you and say, I have to let go of eating chocolate? You know, I'm gonna hate eating chocolate. Well, first of all, eating chocolate didn't even make the list. You know, I mean, if we could eat chocolate and not think all of these thoughts, it would probably be fine. What if we not worry about the form too awful much at the moment? Not that form doesn't change, because it does. There does come times when we find that maybe our eating of chocolate is really a habit energy that's coming from the ego, and the way that we eat chocolate every night at 8:30 or 9 or whatever is really still holding up the ego. And at that point, we may, you know, want to go ahead and start looking at that and inquiring into that, letting that habit energy fall away. But for now, let's not worry about that. What if we didn't worry about behavior at all at this moment, and we just looked at what we're thinking about? Because where does the behavior come from anyway? Doesn't it come from the thinking? So what if we just look at where our attention is going? And think about, you know, this line says, be devoted to truth. Well, if I'm totally in this story about, you know, what you guys think of me and how I, you know, can act different in order to get you to see me the way I want to be seen, I just lost my train of thought because I was reading the board. I don't read the board very often, but I was. Let me talk about the board and then I'll come back. What I saw on the board was someone saying, should we compare marijuana and drinking to chopping off heads? And actually, in the context that I was speaking, they are the same. Because the context that I was speaking is letting go of stories in the mind of I approve of this and I don't approve of that. If I say, I don't really approve of drinking and driving, but drinking and staying home is okay. You know, marijuana, you know, that's okay. I really don't mind people smoking marijuana, but chopping off heads, now that's bad. See, that's doing exactly what the mind wants us to do. That's giving our attention to the mind. So, and I'll stop there because I can see that maybe Bad Robot doesn't understand where I'm going, but some of you guys understand where I'm going with this. And that does bring me back. Now I remember what I was about to say before I got distracted. If I am giving my mental attention to thinking about marijuana, thinking about drinking, thinking about chopping off heads, thinking about whether I approve, disapprove, which one is better, which one is worse, when I'm giving my attention to all of that thinking in the mind, I am being devoted to mind. I am being devoted to stories. And what most of us will find with just a little bit of looking is that we're awful good at being devoted to mind. And therefore, we don't need to learn to be devoted. We already know how to be devoted. But we need to shift, assuming that we're seeking self-realization, we need to shift our devotion so that instead of being devoted to these mental stories, instead of being devoted to a debate about whether, you know, marijuana is more harmless than chopping off heads, instead of being devoted to that, we need to be devoted to the truth. And there's a number of ways of being devoted to the truth. You know, self-inquiry is a way of being devoted to the truth. Just being devoted to the heart. I mean, I experience devotion as a very powerful force. I can just be devoted to devotion. And when I'm devoted to devotion, you know, the mind just goes silent. It can't compete with that. You know, there's the awareness watching awareness meditation practice. There's the Buddhist mindfulness practice. There's the practice of letting everything be as it is in a very deep way, not asking anything to be different. The practice of being with what is instead of judging. There are a lot of different ways that we can be devoted to truth, and we can each find a way that feels very natural for us and become devoted to truth in that way. Or maybe we find that in one moment, you know, allowing everything to be as it is appropriate. In another moment, inquiry is appropriate. In another moment, sitting in awareness, watching awareness is appropriate. But all of those things are not being devoted to the stories in the mind. So that's really what this journal entry 639B is saying. It's saying instead of being devoted to the stories of the mind, be devoted to the truth. You know, we could say it differently. We could say literally use time differently. Every time that you notice you're using time to listen to a story in the mind, ask, how else could I be using this time right now? You just ask yourself, your inner self, how else could I be using this same moment of time so that I'm being devoted to truth instead of devoted to stories? Roy says, focusing all attention on the kingdom and you will see you are the kingdom of love. So 639B is really recommending practice. The practice of being devoted to truth and letting all else go meaning not necessarily the Snickers bar, but everything I think about the Snickers bar. All of the desire I think I have for the Snickers bar. All of the guilt that I think I have for eating the Snickers bar. All of the Snickers I think you guys are making at my fat butt because I eat too many Snicker bars, right? I mean, it's all of that that needs to be let go of. All of that chatter. Let it all go and be devoted to the truth. Use my time differently. So again, 639B says, be devoted to truth and let all else go. What is not truth? What should be let go and not occupy my mental attention? Stories of who thinks what about me. Ideas of how this body will continue to survive. Thoughts about what is in the best interest of others. Judgments and grievances. Desires and fears. What I will say or do. What I like or approve of or don't like, don't approve of. And then just general, etc. So I'm going to scroll down now underneath the comment and reply and click on 639C in the journal. And let me read the quote that we are contemplating one more time. Here is the quote. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. So maybe I don't want to sit around thinking about Snickers bars all day. Right? All right, so let's move on to 639C. Mental busyness is a distraction from truth. Be devoted to truth. So this is really a reminder of what we saw in 639B. This is a good one to write down on a piece of paper, a small piece of paper, and fold it up and put it in your back pocket. And pull it out as many times as you remember during the day and read it. If you remember every hour, pull it out every hour and read it. If you remember every half hour, every 15 minutes, if you remember every 5 minutes, pull it out every 5 minutes and read it. And do you know that when you do that, when you pull this thought or a thought similar to this out of your back pocket and you read it and contemplate it ever so briefly, just every time you remember to do so, do you know what you're doing? You are being focused on truth and letting all else go. You're actively doing that. Some people would call this mind training. And in this case, the way the word mind, you know, I hear the word mind differently in different sentences. Hopefully you all do too. When I hear mind training, I really think of it as attention training. I'm training my attention to stay with truth instead of drifting off into non-truth. You know, at first I may be training my attention to stay with thoughts of truth. That's a bridge. But it's an extremely helpful bridge. So I may be training my mind, my attention to stay with a thought of truth that I'm contemplating for, let's say, an entire day. I want to keep returning my attention to a particular thought and contemplate it throughout the day so that my understanding of it grows ever deeper. My realization broadens. But eventually, we train our attention to stay with awareness, attention on awareness, or we could call it awareness, watching awareness. But you see, mind training, it's not telling the mind what to think so much. It's not trying to control the mind. Mind training sounds almost like mind control, doesn't it? Mind training, mind control, those words sound a lot alike. But mind training is really training the attention to rest with something helpful rather than resting with chatter. And this particular journal entry, 639C, is a great one to carry around for a day or two or three. And just keep quietly contemplating this. Mental busyness is a distraction from truth. Be devoted to truth. You see, in that first line, we're reminded that we aren't really interested in the mind stories. You know, we're reminded of our purpose. We're reminded that we're here because we want self-realization. We no longer want to be fooled about who or what we are, or fooled about what is or isn't truth. We want to be clear. We want clarity. We want truth. And the first line reminds us of that. It reminds us that mental busyness, when we get lost in that, we're distracted from what we really want. It's reminding us that we don't value those stories. You see, whenever we get lost in those stories, it's because we're unconsciously thinking we value them. You know, I'm unconsciously thinking I care a lot about what you guys think about me. So I have to think about what I said yesterday and how you might have taken it. And maybe when I come back into the room tomorrow, maybe I need to correct it by saying this differently. Or just maybe from now on, I should never use that word again. You know, maybe you'll think I'm not so spiritual if I use that word. Instead, I'm going to use this word. If I'm thinking all of that stuff, it's because I value it. I value that. Or at least I think I value that. But this first line, when I read mental busyness is a distraction from truth, at least for me, it's almost like I drop down as I read it. Mental busyness is up here in the head. And as I read, is a distraction from truth, truth is down here in the heart. So as I read the sentence, my attention shifts from the mental busyness, and it's calling it busyness. It's calling it busyness, which really reminds me it's not something I value. It's what makes me tired, right? It's what gets me anxious. It's what keeps me having to try and control everything that I can't control. So I read these words, mental busyness, and I'm reminded, oh, yeah, that's right. That's not what I value. And then it says, is a distraction from truth. And when I read that word truth, it drops my attention in the heart. And I don't even have to say, oh, yeah, that's what I value. There's just this, like this recognition of what's true. In this case, what's true is also what I truly value. And then after I've dropped in that first sentence, the second sentence, be devoted to truth, the heart starts to sing. And I'm reminded of just how much I want to keep my attention here. So you see, writing these two sentences down on a little piece of paper, putting them in the back pocket, and then reviewing them throughout the day as many times as you remember. You know, maybe it's 20 times, maybe it's 40 times, maybe it's 60 times. It's going to be incredibly helpful. Spending just one day with these two lines can change just how much interest you have in the mind. The next day you may find yourself starting to think about something that you don't approve of, something you just saw on the news, and then you'll catch yourself. You go, wait a minute, I don't want to spend my time thinking about that. I'm returning myself to the heart. You know, maybe I'm going to do that by practicing self-inquiry. Maybe I'm going to shift immediately into awareness, watching awareness. Maybe I'm going to practice the I am that I am mantra that's in Inner Ramana. Maybe I have another sentence in my back pocket today that I'm going to pull out and review. But regardless of what I'm doing, what I'm aware of today that maybe I wasn't as aware of 2 days ago because I spent a whole day with these two sentences. What I'm aware of now is that I don't really value the stories of the mind, and I don't really want to let my attention lazily be there. Because that is kind of lazy. If you pay attention to it, you'll see what I mean by lazy. We're very lazy when we let our mind go there, even though it wears us out. Because we're not putting in enough effort to remember what we really want. We're not even putting that much effort into it. So it's very lazy. Mental busyness is a distraction from truth. Drop to the heart. Be devoted to truth. Stay here. Simple. All right. Let's go to 639D. And once again, I'm going to read the quote that we are contemplating this evening. This is from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. It's quote number 639. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. All right, 639D says, if one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? So again, this is a question I ask myself during the inquiry process, during the contemplation of this quote. If one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? And four answers came for me. One was self-inquiry. In self-inquiry, for me, self-inquiry probably most likely refers to the inquiry that's taught in the teachings of Inner Ramana. So the way that self-inquiry would look is like this. Let's imagine that I'm worried about what you think of me. I'm very worried. Do you guys think I'm a wise teacher? Do you think I'm just here babbling and I'm full of ignorance? And should I just shut up? Should I quit coming in this room because everybody's just laughing at me, right? The way the self-inquiry would work is I would look at those thoughts first and I would say, either what is thinking these thoughts? You know, and when I say what is thinking these thoughts, or I might say where are these thoughts coming from, but I don't mean those words literally when I ask that question for myself. You know, I'm not trying to figure out where was the thought before it was here in my attention. When I say where is the thought coming from, I'm noticing it's the mind. You know, what is thinking these thoughts? The mind. Where is this thought coming from? The mind. Those questions for me are the same. So I might ask one of those questions. And what this is doing, when I ask this question, is this is immediately shifting me from thinking these are my thoughts. Instead of me thinking, oh, I'm all concerned about what you guys think of me. Instead of me thinking that, I'm now watching that thought. I'm now watching that thinking that is happening in the mind. So see, I'm kind of shifted back, you could say, by asking, what's thinking this thought or where is this thought coming from. I'm shifted now. I'm no longer attached to the thought. And once I ask that question and I shift back and I'm watching the thought, very aware that I'm watching the thought, I can then ask, what am I? And that somehow turns the attention around. So instead of the attention being on the mind and being on the thought, I turn the attention around, and now the attention is on the awareness. What am I? Awareness, watching awareness happens with that second question. So it's kind of like attention is moved. In the first scenario, when I'm sitting here worrying about what you think about me, attention is absorbed in thought. It's absorbed. It's like it's merged. It's like attention and thought are one, and I think I am the thought. But then in the second scenario, when I ask the question, where is this thought coming from, or what is thinking this thought, I shift outside the mind, and now I can see the thought happening. Just like I'm in an audience and it's on a stage and I'm watching the stage. I'm no longer absorbed in it. And then when I ask, what am I? The attention completely turns around. I'm no longer even looking at the stage. I'm now looking at the watcher, the awareness. So that's what self-inquiry. That's how it works for me. And that, as I mentioned, that's the way that I learned it in the teachings of Inner Ramana. So the question in 639D, if one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? The first answer was self-inquiry. The second answer, remembrance. And remembrance for me can have a couple of different meanings. But really they're the same. As I said that, I looked at that, I thought it's really a couple of different means, but the meaning is the same. A couple of different means to the same meaning. Remembrance is really remembering what I truly want, what I'm truly interested, what I truly value. So one way remembrance can just happen is by asking, what do I truly want? And in fact, if we go with the same scenario, I'm sitting here thinking about what you guys are thinking about me and wondering what I need to do in order to get out of your judgment or get you to judge me in a way that I like, judge me favorably instead of unfavorably, right? I'm all caught up in this story. Then I notice that I'm caught up. The noticing automatically happens. I see I'm caught up in thought again. So when the noticing happens, without the self-inquiry in this case, I'd still shifted to where I'm no longer absorbed. I'm looking now from the audience. And then I ask, what do I truly want? And in asking that question, I remember my purpose. I remember that I'm not interested in being caught up in chatter. I remember I want to spend my time in spiritual practice. I remember I want to watch awareness as much as possible throughout the day. You see, it's remembrance. I remember. So one means to remembrance is simply by asking that question, what do I truly want? The second means to remembrance is having a thought in the back pocket. And for many people, this is extremely helpful. And those of you who know me well know I did this for years, every single day. There was a new thought, a new single quiet thought that I called them, that I would put in my back pocket. And that thought, that right-minded thought, or that thought that points to truth, was a bridge that helped me remember. And so, you know, I might notice that I'm all caught up in the mind. I'm all worried about what you guys think of me. I'm planning my story of how I'm going to control this so that you think of me differently. And then I notice what I'm doing. And then I remember the thought in my back pocket. I pull out that thought in my back pocket. Maybe it's 639C. And I read that thought to myself. Mental busyness is a distraction from truth. Be devoted to truth. And I just pause in a silent contemplation of that. You see, that is also remembrance. So again, 639D, if one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? One means is self-inquiry. Another is remembrance. A third one is mantra and contemplation. And again, mantra and contemplation is something I got from the teachings of Inner Ramana. The mantra that is given by Inner Ramana is, I am that I am. And there are four rules about how to say the mantra. Let's see if I can remember them off the top of my head. One rule is to say the mantra whenever you remember to say the mantra. If the thought comes into the mind to say the mantra, that's when you say it. Every time the remembrance comes, say the mantra. The second rule is that you can do it with your eyes open or your eyes closed. So if you're in a place, like if you're sitting in your office, you can close your eyes and be devoted to the mantra for a moment and say, I am that I am. That's wonderful. But if you're driving a car or if you're in the middle of a conversation, a business meeting, and you can't really close your eyes, that's not an excuse for not saying the mantra. You just keep your eyes open and you quietly inside yourself say the mantra anyway. I am that I am. The third rule is to say the mantra with devotion, as if it's the greatest gift you've ever received. So you're not rushing through the mantra. It's not like, oh, geez, is that, okay, I got to say this again. I am that I am. Okay, there, I did it. You know, it's not that. It's being so grateful, you know, grateful that this remembrance has come to kind of shift myself. And so I say the mantra, I am that I am, with that gratitude. And then the fourth rule is to linger in the silence that follows the mantra. Just linger there. So, I am that I am. And then just lingering in that silence instead of returning right away to mental chatter. And it also says mantra and contemplation, which I think is interesting that I put them together on one line on this day. But I think that probably the reason I did that is because what I have found in my personal experience is if I start every day with contemplation, like sitting down with the seven steps and contemplating a quote in it, or sitting down with the MPP program and contemplating what's in the MPP program, or sitting down with the Course in Miracles workbook and contemplating the daily lesson, if I start each day with contemplation, then I am more likely to remember to say the mantra throughout the day. So they kind of go hand in hand. If I don't start the day in contemplation, I'm much more likely to forget the mantra as well. So maybe that's why I put them on one line. I'm not sure. And then the fourth choice, the fourth answer, again, the question is, if one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? And the fourth answer is simply awareness, watching awareness. And I'll speak for myself now, but maybe some of you have the same experience. For me, the awareness, watching awareness is more advanced. Like in the beginning, I didn't even really know what the heck that meant. I didn't have the feel for it. I knew what remembrance was. I knew what mantra and contemplation was. Then I knew what self-inquiry was. And lastly, I began to discover what awareness, watching awareness was. And then at first it seemed to happen like on accident. But then it got to where I could purposefully shift my attention so that attention was looking at awareness. So for me, that was more advanced. Maybe for some people, it's a very, very natural, very, very natural, I'll call it first step. But to be able to just shift the attention to the awareness, you know, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, is a wonderful, wonderful practice. And to spend as much time as possible in awareness, watching awareness, instead of in attention, watching thought, right? Attention, watching awareness is very, very helpful. So again, 639D, if one has decided to be firmly devoted to truth, how can one keep this promise and abandon the habit of mental busyness? And some suggestions are self-inquiry, remembrance, mantra and contemplation, awareness, watching, awareness. And so I'm going to scroll down to 639E. We just have 4 minutes left. I might not even finish 639 tonight. Like I said, I spent a long time. It looks like I maybe even spent a whole day sitting in the chair contemplating this one quote. But we'll just do what we get done, and then the rest I'll continue with next week. I don't feel to rush. So let me read 639 again, as if we have all the time in the world. This is the quote we're contemplating. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. So 639E says, one is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. Resting peacefully in the heart, content with isness and filled with joy, one gives the gift of peace, contentment, and joy. In the 3 minutes that I have left, I'll just tell you a really fast story. And then I think we'll probably go ahead and start with 639E again next week too. But I did have an accident a couple of days ago. I was riding a horse at a pretty fast rate. And the horse, for a reason I'm unaware of, the horse suddenly decided to turn right really quickly. And because I wasn't prepared for that, my body flew forward. I flew off the horse and hit the ground really hard. And when I hit the ground really hard, the pain was, it's one of those pains that's just indescribable, and it was everywhere, my whole body. And there was so much pain that I did not know if I was okay or not okay, meaning physically. I did not know, for example, if I had broken my back. I just didn't know, and I didn't move, and I just laid there. But the reason I'm telling you this story is because as I laid there, immediately after the accident, immediately after hitting the ground, what I immediately contemplated was, what if, you know, like the back is broken or something like that, and I can never walk again. And I immediately made a decision to be content with isness. That if this now meant that everything was different, that there would be no more walking, right? No more moving, you know, maybe paralyzed from the neck down, no more feeding myself. I was going to be content with isness. And I was content. Now, as it turns out, that wasn't the situation. In fact, today I took a 3-mile walk with my dog, my boyfriend. So that wasn't the end of the movement of this body. In fact, I think it's a miracle compared to that was 2 days ago. That was 2 days ago. And I was in a lot of pain on Friday, the whole rest of the day. And to be moving around like I am today is just pretty amazing. But the point is, I think it's important that we begin somewhere to make decisions within ourselves to be content with isness, and to not need to be able to walk or need to be able to play badminton or need to be able to do anything. Whenever we think our happiness is out there, there's a mistake there. We're then referring to ourselves as the body. So we will start with 639E next week. And I'm going to let go of the mic. I think that probably Lisa Natoli and Bill Free might be next because I see them in the room and they're not always here. So y'all have a wonderful evening. Bye.